Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Before we get into it, did you know that nominations are now open for the fourth annual DVM 360's Veterinary Hero Award? So we have a boatload of categories that are available, and these are peer-to-peer nominations. So we'd love to get those nominations coming in. For example, CSR, feline medicine, surgery, GP, technician, the list goes on. But you can head on over to DVM360.com to nominate away. Okay, I'm very excited about this episode, everybody, because you all know him, and he's a very good friend of mine. He's also my mentor and just someone that does a lot of great work in this industry. And put your paws together, see what I did there, for Dr. Peter Weinstein. How are you?
Wonderful, Adam. It's always great to hang with you. I can't tell you how much laughing we do together when we get to see each other in three dimensions, but two dimensions works just as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love chatting with you. I mean, I feel like I need to take a ticket to get in line to see you, because when I see you at the live events, he tends to have quite a few people around him, which is a great thing. It's a great problem to have, and I love that. So thank you for all the great work you do. So before we go into it, we're going to talk about, you know, the crystal ball for 2024 and beyond, what you think, where we're heading, where we're going with veterinary medicine. And, you know, I would like to know a little bit more about you. So, and maybe the listeners don't know that much. So tell everybody a little bit about the background of Dr. Peter Weinstein.
Well, my background is a veterinarian, University of Illinois, and moved out to California shortly after graduating, got involved as a hospital owner 3 years out of school, and then somehow got involved with organized veterinary medicine. My second or third job was with a leader of the California Veterinary Medical Association, and he started getting me involved with organized veterinary medicine. So I have a passion for leadership. I have a passion for organized veterinary medicine. Even though I may not agree with everything, every position that they take, I do feel that they have a very important role. And so I owned a hospital, I had a leadership roles in organized vet med, and now I teach business and finance for the third year veterinary students at Western University out here in Pomona in Southern California. And I think I've kind of committed my last third of my career to education, communication, and making the profession better for all of us. We got to bring fun back into veterinary medicine. Yeah. And I'm doing so because, as you know, my daughter graduated from vet school last June. So I want her to have a better profession for her going forward.
Yeah, I love that. Congratulations to your daughter. That's awesome. She's in Australia, right?
That's correct. She's down under.
I love it. So what do you think, Peter, the future of education looks like for the veterinary profession? What does that look like to you since you're kind of immersed in it?
Well, Adam, let's start by saying that I am very uncomfortable being the one interviewed. So whether you like it or not, today I'm flipping the script on you.
Oh, no.
And I know you've probably got a script outlined of what you want to ask me. But tough luck, dude. I'm going to be the interviewer.
You're going to be the interviewer. All right. I'm ready for this then. This has never happened before.
Let's let the world know about Adam Christman. Adam Christman, this is your life.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you, Barbara Walters.
Okay. So everybody who listens to you, you know, Adam, you were telling me that I've got a fan club.
Yes.
Dude, you are right up there. You're the Taylor Swift of veterinary medicine. Or in your case, Mariah Carey.
Thank you. Thank you.
The world sees Adam Christman on social media and your million TikTok viewers as colorful, energetic, outgoing. But I want to know about baby Adam, young Adam Christman, before TikTok, before Instagram, before Facebook, before MySpace, when technology was basically a transistor radio. Now, you're a little bit younger than that, but did you always want to be a veterinarian?
Yes. So I knew as early as I believe it was like 5 or 6 years of age. I remember knowing that I was so fascinated with we had one dog growing up in our family, and his name was Archie. He was a beagle mix. And I just remember being so enamored by him, looking at, his anatomy, his ears, just more than just petting a dog, right? And even my mom, she would be like, "Oh, you really love him, huh?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just so fascinated." I had a love for science, and I was always getting those backyard science kits. Did you ever have a rock tumbler growing up, by the way? Oh, so
No,
good.
I never had a rock
Oh my God.
tumbler.
Rock tumblers and like the science kits. So I really had a love for both, the backyard when we were going outside looking at things, and then dogs. Cut to when I was in 5th grade, I remember doing this. And again, I come from a very blue collar family. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was a truck driver, and it's me, my older brother Tom, who's 3 years older than me. And so, no history of, veterinarians or doctors or whatnot. But I do remember in 5th grade, I said, "Mom, I want to start my own dog walking business." And I remember her saying, like, "Who says this?" So I just had index cards. I put them in the neighborhood, and neighbors that we knew, because growing up back then, we just knew everybody. And I had 4 dogs that I would walk their dogs after school. And what mom and dad always said is like, bring them in the backyard. They all got along, so it was like, bring them in the backyard. And she's like, let's like learn about them and see like what does happiness look like to a dog? What does fear look like? And how to handle them a little bit more. So we would do that almost every day, and understanding dog language and body language. And here I am in 5th grade, just really, having a love for dogs. And I know there's a lot of animal lovers out there with other species, but this is how it kind of started for me. And then I did say to mom when I was in 5th grade, I said, "Can we take Archie to the vet, just for wellness?" And she's like, "Yeah, sure." I wanted to go. And then I met our family veterinarian for many years when I was in there. I said, "I want to be like you when I grow up." And he says, "When you're old enough, come hang out with me." I was in cut to 8th grade, and he says, "Ah, that's good enough. Come hang." And so that's what I did. I started cleaning kennels and becoming a veterinary assistant, learning how to properly restrain animals. And that was the hospital, everybody, that I did a 1 year stint away after vet school, but I practiced in my hometown in Brick, New Jersey. That was the hospital that I went to after high school. I was a vet tech in, an assistant general practitioner, all the way to the chief of staff of that practice. And I grew that practice from 4 to 12 doctors in 2 locations. And it was a really cool experience just being in the community. And not many veterinarians get that opportunity to be in the town that you grew up in. So I had a really cool perspective where I kind of knew a lot of my clients. They were my high school teachers, elementary school teachers. And funny story, it's just because I know a lot of you out there, you would like cringe, but it's just like, it is what it is. When if they couldn't get a hold of the vet hospital for me, they would call my mom and dad if they knew them. Like, "Oh, I really want to get in to see Adam." She's like, "Just go in and walk in, tell them mom sent you." And but that was the kind of vibe and practice that we had. We got it done. We didn't be like, "Oh my God, she's coming in and being annoying." We were just like, we're here to help the community. And we built this great relationship to the point where I don't think you know this too, Peter, is that when I got married to Chris, we had a little under 200 guests in there, but 164 of them were clients.
Wow. Let's unpack that. There's so much information there. So Archie, named after the comic.
Yes.
And you
Yeah.
said Archie was a beagle, right?
Archie was a beagle. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So cute.
I'm glad you mentioned your parents because I don't think many people knew your background. You're a Jersey boy.
Jersey boy, we don't pump our gas, we pump our fists.
Yes. And can you sing?
I can do a little bit of singing because I come from a bro Do you know that I come from a little Broadway family? Did you know that too?
No, I mean, dude, let's dive deep into Adam, a Broadway family. Now, your mom was a stay-at-home mom and your dad was a truck driver. There's nothing in there that says Broadway. So it must have
Yeah.
been something else.
Yeah, so my mom's sister, Aunt Marie, my godparents were amazing. My Aunt Marie, my Uncle Don, huge shout out to them because they really did nurture me through vet school, helped support my way through. They wanted to be a real big part of my dream of being a veterinarian. And they helped me with my room and board. You know, that was like a really big thing. And I always give them a huge shout out to them. But Aunt Marie and my Uncle Don is a Tony Award winner from the original production of A Chorus Line. So he was the guy that I remember being in the room and he was like, you know, doing the songs, Singular Sensation. And I'm like, what's that sound? I like it a lot. And I remember like growing up and I said to my mom, I said, thanks for giving me the best godparents ever. She's like, oh my God. It was like, if I could go on match.com and find great godparents for my son, it would be my sister and brother-in-law because they were absolutely amazing. And my Aunt Marie is still with me today. She's the only family member left in my life. And she's my world. So she lives in Brewster, New York. So, yeah.
Very cool. So, I mean, you have a classic growing up as I want to be a veterinarian, and mine wasn't all that much different. I grew up and I started working as a kennel kid when I was 15, mm-hmm. volunteering. I used to go with my parents to bring the cats in. We had cats growing up to the veterinarian and take care of them when they got sick or cat bite abscesses or whatever cats going outside get themselves into trouble with. So I had a similar sort of background and went to work for the practice through freshman year and vet school. And then I, you know, moved on to other practices and different opportunities. But I want you to give a shout out and I want you to recognize the name of the doctor who gave you your first opportunity, because sometimes we don't recognize and reflect on those people who believed in us and gave. So right. I would say Dr. Kronfeld and Mann at Port Washington Animal Hospital gave me my first chance. Who was the individual in the practice that gave you your first chance that you ultimately made his business even more successful?
Yeah, without a doubt, it's Dr. David Buist. And he's been at that practice, integral component. And Dr. Richard Pearson, who's no longer with us, but those two business partners really gave me an in. And, you know, I that's what I always say when I teach other veterinarians like us to say, just give a yes. You know, all it takes is a moment. And when he sat there and he says, when you're old enough, come chat to me, I held him to it and I did it. And he said, come on in. So I do think the importance of that early mentorship, which I'm very big fan of. So, yeah.
I think one of the greatest things we as veterinarians can do is take an individual who has a dream and help them accomplish it. And there are a lot of people that are dream stealers. I don't know whether you dealt with this in high school where a guidance counselor would said, why don't you become a regular doctor? Mm-hmm. And I said, I am regular and I am going to be a doctor. And, you know, I'm going to be a veterinarian. And there are people who I'm sure told you that, well, with your science, with your knowledge, with your education, you could become an MD. And it's like, no, I want to be a DVM. Did you have to deal with any of that pushback from friends, family, guidance counselors, et cetera?
Yeah, believe it or not, the pushback was from an associate veterinarian that was at the practice that I was, you know, working as a vet tech. And he said, don't ever be like me. Do not enter this career. It's going to drain you and it's going to ruin you. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, really, I know it. I never thought it that way. But, you know, obviously we know that it's hard work, of course, but I would say to everybody out there, do not do that to somebody's dream. You know, like, I mean, you're not giving them an unrealistic expectation, but if someone believes in something and really is passionate about it, nurture that. I think it's just awful for somebody to be like, oh, you don't need it. You don't do this. So get a different career, because you don't know what their experience is going to be like. And you can't, you know, put your emotions and those feelings onto somebody else. I mean, this is it's the greatest profession on earth, but I do think that you got to give them an opportunity to find themselves through this profession. There's so many options out there.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that we get studies that show that, you know, 50% or more of our colleagues would not recommend veterinary medicine to friends, family, clients, et cetera. I don't know. I think you and I and many of our cohort are some of the biggest cheerleaders out there. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you should see Adam in a cheerleader outfit. He's really pretty cool. But
was a
we're some of
cheerleader.
the best cheerleaders out there. And I think we have to be cheerleaders for our profession because it's just a really small profession. I'm doing a little sidebar right now, a little riffing, because those people who will listen to this and are maybe having some questions as to whether you would recommend it, please don't be a naysayer. At least be neutral from that standpoint.
Yes. And if you feel a little disenchanted, reignite yourself. I remember I created the veterinary assistant program at our community college. I worked through NAFTA for this. We didn't have one in our town. And I really wanted to work hard to give opportunities because maybe not everybody wants to be veterinarians, but they want that visibility in the profession. And Peter, I'm so proud we pushed through over 300 graduates since I started that, 10 years ago. I'm no longer doing it, but there's somebody else that's now, passed the baton on over to. But the fact that we have that, and it totally fills another bucket to the listeners out there. Like it feels so good knowing that you're making such an impact. And there is this one student, and he knows I talk about him a lot. His name is Nolan. And I'll never forget this, everybody. Take just really quick, just hear me out on this, because this is a really big thing. This is why I continue to inspire, is that Nolan has autism, and his parents came in the first day of school and they said, "We just want to make you aware of his special needs and whatnot." I said, "Absolutely." But she said, his mom said, "There is something about his connection to animals we just can't pinpoint. There is something there. And we feel like this is his opportunity." And she says, "If he's, by all means, if there's any issues, please just let me know. We can pull him out of the program." I said, "Absolutely. I'll let you know. Give him a shot." And the first couple of weeks, very quiet. Now, with this program, they have to shadow me in practice. So we had class on Sundays, and they would spend X amount of hours shadowing the doctors around. And so Nolan was very quiet, but I had a one-on-one with him, and I'm watching him in the back. He's in the back kennel with a dog that was recovering. He's up in sternal, doing fine. But the way he's petting this dog and the smile on his face, I said to Nolan, do you like that dog?" He says, "I love him." I said, he says he's getting better. I could tell. I said, "Absolutely." And he's looking at his teeth. He's examining him. Very sweet golden retriever, of course. Totally not going to get bit. But I just want to share with you, Nolan is officially an LVT and is the most popular vet tech at his hospital right now. I mean, you can't even get in to see this guy. They don't even see the veterinarian. They go, "We request to see Nolan." So you just don't know is really what it is. But to have that impact is my continuous why is what I do every day.
Yeah, and I think it's great when we save pets and we do great things for pets and family, but I think one of the most rewarding things that I have is the staff members who start out as kennel kids and become assistants and maybe become technically adept and then go to vet school. And that means that you've helped fulfill their dreams. And even if they go to tech school, it really doesn't matter, but we need to be dream weavers, not dream stealers in this profession. And I think that's how we'll help create and build a next really great generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So dude,
Oh.
oh, my California's coming out. You started in eighth grade in the kennels. You showed an
Yes.
interest when you were five, but I did some digging on the internet, and as you know, anything that's on the internet is forever.
Oh.
And I found a picture of you as a soccer goalie.
Oh.
Now, how good were you? Were you like American national team?
Right.
Did you play sports when you weren't cleaning kennels? I mean, what's the Adam Christman that's not animal related through high school, through vet school? What else did you do?
Well, it's so funny. I feel like this is TMZ, so thank God it's like the photos are good. But so it's so funny. That is a Halloween costume because that is probably the one time that I wear a soccer costume to be like, oh, but I did like soccer for a little moment, but fun fact, I was in gymnastics for 12 years, and the high bar only went so high, Peter. Now I'm 6'4", and so when I would swing, I would get these rug burns across the plantar surfaces of my feet, or the dorsal surfaces of my feet, and the plantars would get a little rubbed along the way. And so I said, "Oh no, what am I gonna do? Like I can't, the high bar only went so high." So that was my thing. So I did gymnastics for quite some time, and then some volleyball all the way through vet school. I did like volleyball a lot, but I really found a passion for working out, just strength training, lifting. I got to give a shout out to one of my best friends, Dr. Rob Mankowski, who's also a veterinarian. We've been friends since undergrad at Rutgers, but he helped me identify how to work out and, you know, how to strength train and all these different things. And so that's really, and that's, as many of you guys know, that's my favorite thing. You see me on social media doing my thing, but it is my time. I love how Eric Garcia talks a lot about unplugging. And for me to unplug would be like me being not weaned off of prednisone. But I do unplug for 2 hours when I'm working out. And I think that's important for me. So, yeah.
All right. So you're a pumping guy. How many days a week are you doing weights? How much cardio? Give people an idea of what a workout week for Adam looks like when you're at home, because I know it's much harder when you're on the road.
It is hard when I'm on the road, but I'll talk about that in a minute because it is important to me. But I work out 7 days a week, everybody. I do. And I'm a 2 hour a day kind of guy. And the first hour is cardio and HIIT. So it's, I got a big shout out. I've been going for over 11 years now. It's called SETS, Short Elite Training Systems. And it's my family. I joined the 5 a.m.ers. I'm one of those 5 a.m. rise and shiners. And it's strength training with cardio and stations and all of that. And I've been through a lot, as some of you know, and I tried not, unless I'm sick or I'm away, but I don't miss working out. Even if I lost my dog or had to put them down, because that gym group is totally my vibe, and they get me, and I need that. And so I know you're supposed to take a day off or whatever from the gym, but I can't. I can't. I really love it. I do a lot of thinking. I get a lot of my mental like thinking done in between sets and like, you know, working out. But then I'll go over from there to, and then I go to the gym and I do my own stuff after that. And then I have a little bit of self-care Saturdays is what I call them. Saturdays is when I try to really decompress and be with the dogs afterwards and be present with them and be my silly, goofy self with them. Maybe take them for an extra walk or take them to the park. But then I get on the floor and I'm just like, I'm all yours. Do whatever you want. But when I'm on the road with you, Peter, and with everybody else, it's a really tough one because I am not a night owl. Some of you may not know that, but when Wheel of Fortune comes on is when I start to turn it off. But you know, when you're on the road, you're out a lot with dinners and with, you know, companies and networking and all those things. So I'm out late, but I really do. I get up early. Many of you that are listening know that you've seen me at the gym and I might be half still sleeping, but I push myself because Betsy Charles taught me something very important. I give a big shout out, Betsy, during your keynote. The importance of movement, and just move is what she says. Just move. Even because getting out of bed is one thing, like that's an accomplishment. But when you're physically moving and working out in the morning, when you have a long day ahead of you at these conferences and a lot of being on and networking, you want to make sure you have a good headspace for yourself. So really big about movement and working out before that.
So it's interesting. I also go to the gym, not for 2 hours, and I don't do as many weights as I do cardio, but I need it. And I do it at the end of the day. I try to go, my day kind of ends around 3 or 3:30 and Pacific time, because my East Coast friends are done at that time.
Yeah.
And I go to the gym for an hour and a half, mostly doing cardio. And a lot of it is just to stay in shape and stick around so I can see how this story ultimately ends. you know, and so I use it as a way of distracting myself and getting away from the Zooms and the phone calls and the emails. And I usually read when I'm working out. Nice. On the bikes, because I read novels or I read business books, because again, it keeps me focused on right in front of me, because it's so easy, as you know, in our worlds to be distracted, to be Doug and a squirrel out in the field chasing a squirrel. So I think it's your messaging about taking care of yourself and scheduling it and having a routine is extremely important for our longevity physically as well as mentally.
Yeah, 100%. You know, yep.
And without you sharing your steroids with me, I'll never look like you, but it's okay.
Please get out of here. Listen, it gets hard as we get older, as we all know. It's like tough and more challenging. I'm like, the hell is this? I used to be able to like lift. Now it hurts to sneeze or cough.
Yeah, we'll turn your head and cough. It's okay. Right. All right. So as I was digging deeper into the internet, by the way, if you ever want to have fun, just Google Adam Christman. You'll find all sorts of things.
Yes.
I found a picture that looked like you doing your best Howard Stern routine. Okay. Were you a DJ or were you a radio jock or what were you? Because it really looked like you were, you know, doing your best Howard Stern.
Yes. Okay. So I believe you're, I was a regular on a radio show locally. I think that's what it was. So, so 94.3 the point. And I would be their subject matter expert for the community, you know, so, you know, that stuff and all that. And I thought it was great because we did a lot of great work collaboratively together with these radio stations. When, and I invite all of you out there to do that, really get involved. Your local radio stations will pick up all these great stories. If you want to talk about heartworm prevention and flea and tick and itchy dogs, they love all that stuff because they know that that content really resonates to their audience and listeners. Because fun fact, listeners, I don't know if you know this, but a lot of your radio DJs have to write blogs and they are always looking for things to increase search engine optimization, and pets always does it for them. So reach out to your local radio stations.
You're obviously an extrovert.
Shocking.
But are you?
So, okay.
I mean, how much energy does it take to put on the Adam Christman, and how much would you really rather be a little bit quieter from that standpoint?
Yeah, I think as I got older, I became more of a forced extrovert. I think, you know, COVID changed a lot of that landscape, right? You know, we're kind of like, but I love being home. I love being home with the dogs. Like, what does a Saturday night look like for Adam Christman is being home with Chris, the dogs, and just chillaxing, watching a movie. And we love to order in because we could be home with the dogs. So yeah, I really do. I love to be in, but when I'm out and, you know, in the conferences, I'm like, what's up, everybody? Like, I love it. It really fills my bucket up and it makes me very happy. Yeah.
You've mentioned Chris a couple of different times. Not everybody's had a chance to meet Chris. I'm not sure I've actually had a chance to meet Chris. Can you take a minute to tell us about your better half?
Yeah. You hear the weans barking right now? They got a lot. They got a lot to say. Chris is literally my better half, everybody. We've been together for 20 years and we've been married for five. Oh gosh, is it going to be six? No, six. 6 years. But yeah, Chris is not a veterinarian. Everybody thinks he is, but he's not a veterinarian and he's taller than me. So he's 6'5", I'm 6'4". And he's been amazing to me. I mean, you got to have a solid, you know, I think relationship in order for what you and I do on the road and leaving and taking care of the dogs. And he's been absolutely my rock for everything. I can't thank him enough for everything he does. So yeah, Chris, I love you.
So when did you get bitten by the social media bug? Was it a Lyme disease tick? Was it a mosquito? When did you go and decide that you wanted to have a greater presence than the one you have already?
It had to be the Lone Star tick for sure. When I was practicing, I did some educational videos. So YouTube was just a thing back then. And I was doing shelter medicine. And I'll never forget this one story of a dachshund that needed a home. And I said, holy smokes, this is so powerful that, you know, overnight it got 400,000 views. And by the time I went to the shelter, we had a home for this dog. So I thought it was really powerful doing that. And so I liked education. I'm a huge fan of it. That's why I even transitioned and pivoted over to continuing education. But then when COVID hit even further, I noticed that our colleagues were getting hammered, you know, hammered with the influx of things. So I said, how can I help? What can I do myself while I'm here? And so I said, let me do more educational videos. And then I go live on social media. So I've been going live on TikTok and I'm really engaging with the audience. So like, for example, I was live last night. We had about 8,000 pet owners that come through the room, ask a boatload of questions. I know it can be very overwhelming to a lot of people out there, but it really does. It's another bucket that fills me up that I help guide them along the way. I'm not diagnosing, prescribing. People just want peace of mind. And the fact that they can have an answer right away to say, my gosh, thank you. I'm going to make an appointment tomorrow. I didn't know that this is serious. And then I've built this community now of people that help elevate each other. Like if there's loss that they just put their dog down, we're here for you. If you have to put your dog down and you know it's coming up, we're also going to be here for you. And so a lot of people have reached out around the world saying, thank you so much. There was one girl who says that I get choked up when she says this, but she says, I'm a veterinarian because of you. And I never met you before. And she is in England, but she just felt very attached and inspired from our story. So it just really warms the heart. You just don't know who's really tuning in. And I'll never stop doing that. I absolutely love it.
Well, one of the stars of your show and the star that makes you be the best supporting actor are your dogs.
Ugh.
And first of all, let me extend my public condolences to you because I know you've lost one of them recently.
Yes.
But you are surrounded by wieners.
Surrounded by a frat house of wieners. Yes. All boys now. Yeah.
And so if you would just give a shout out to your kids, that would be great.
I have to give a shout out. Yeah. So my girl, my queen ween Chelsea passed away. So I love you, Chelsea. But now we have King Connor, who has rose to the ranks. So he is our king. We went from a queen to now the king. And then we have Connor, Carl, Clark W. Griswold, and Capone. Standard wire hair dachshund. If you go to Costco, Peter, you can go in the back section where the paper towels are. That's where you get the standards, like the big, you know, dachshunds.
Well, with your size at 6'4" and Chris's size at 6'5", you can't have a miniature wiener.
Right. No, so. You really flip over them. You trip over. You literally. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Adam is speechless, which yes. is really hard to do, except I would bet that Adam was speechless recently because, ladies and gentlemen, Adam was named the VMX Speaker of the Year for Practice Management this year. And I want to give a shout out and welcome him to the fraternity from that standpoint and congratulate him for receiving recognition for his passion in terms of helping and educating our colleagues. So Adam, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much, my friend. I mean, to be in the presence of greatness with yourself and many others that have received this award in this industry, really, really an honor. And I'm just full of, I have an attitude of gratitude is what I say. Thank you.
So we're running out of time, but I just want you to take a minute or so as we wrap up, just to what message would you give? You've got a platform right now.
Yeah.
And you're the one being interviewed. So you're the one who can send, what message would you send out to all of your listeners from your heart to all of their hearts?
I think please stay centered on your why. I have done hundreds of interviews over the past 4 years here at DVM 360, and I've heard a lot and I've sat on thousands of calls and there's a lot of heartache that's going on in the profession, but I'll tell you one common denominator that we have each other. And I will honestly tell you that, you guys, if you are struggling with anything or you want to make a connection, our community is incredible. We are literally just a DM, a text, or a friend request away for you to really create something magical. You know, like I always say yes to the future generation of children that are interested. Always say yes to a DM or a colleague that's reaching out to you because you never know what that connection is going to lead to. You know, I love to be a connector. I may not know how to do a total hip replacement on a dog, but I know someone who can. And you have taught me that, Peter, really well on how to be a great networker and a connector. But I really want the profession, all of you guys listening, please reach out to me, Peter. We have other people that can help you just to stay connected and build out your network, because your network is your net worth, is what I say.
Well, Adam, thank you for letting me flip the script on you today.
No.
I know that you weren't prepared for this, but you did a wonderful job of sharing your passion with your audience. And thank you, audience, for allowing me to put Adam under the microscope. Next time we get under the electron microscope when we get down to the cellular level. But I just thought it would be good for people to hear about Adam Christman, the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much, Peter, for this. This is awesome, everybody. I'm surprised.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.